Hello, folks, and welcome. I'm Chris Daly, blogger at Jamaicans.com, where I focus on Jamaican culture and occasionally take the pulse of the entrepreneurial engine or Jamaican business community. So it's my extreme privilege to welcome Mr. Earl Chen, president of Jamaican Eatery, a restaurant chain here in Washington, D.C. metropolitan area, to our conversation. The Negro Eatery Enterprise was founded in 1979 by Mr. Chen, who currently his title is President of Negril Systems Incorporated. This initiative of Negril Eatery came out of a visit to his sister Margaret Chen back in 1977. His quick business mind identified the need for fast service Jamaican restaurant here in Washington, D.C. And so in 1978, he returned to Washington and started Negril, the Jamaican Eatery, with his sister. She continues to be instrumental in maintaining the business focus and success. Encouraged by the popularity of his first store, Earl later opened a second store in 1985, and there were more to follow. In 1985, Earl also introduced another innovation in the Jamaican food chain, which he dubs the Negril Express. I see it as great Jamaican food at McDonald's speed. With the opening of these new stores, all thought it would be ideal to form a commissary where signature items such as beef patties, cocoa breads, and so forth could be made, and it can control the quality. And so in 1989, he started Negril Bakery with his brother Paul. Currently, there are three locations and an express-style restaurant that sits adjacent to his Silver Spring, Maryland store. Earl, welcome to our call this afternoon.
Thank you. Good to be here.
It's great to have you. There's something so appealing about Jamaican food, and we see you since you've been in it so long. Maybe you can help us with it. From your perspective, what makes Jamaican food so appetizing to the non-Jamaican community?
I think basically the seasonings that we use, and it permeates through, you know, throughout the meat and the vegetables that we use. So it's just not just a surface seasoning. It goes right through, so you get a really delectable taste.
I can certainly see that from all the non-Jamaicans that I see in your enterprise. And the name Negril, how did you come about focusing on that name?
Well, at the time in Jamaica, Negril was, I guess, one of my favorite locations. And coming up here, I figured if you're Jamaican, you'll recognize the name Negril. And if you're a tourist, you'd be familiar with Negril. So I said, well, I did it more as recognition than anything else.
Yeah, that's great branding. Maybe you could give us a little more about the inspiration that drove you to this decision to invest your life after getting out of school in this restaurant enterprise.
Well, as you said, you know, I was visiting my sister in Washington and looking around really to do a business, which my dream was always to manufacture patties, but I think the reality was the cash flow wasn't there and I needed something to do. And then I remembered we had some family friends in New York City that had a similar type of quick service restaurant. And I looked around here, and we really didn't have any in D.C. And people had to be going up to New York to pick up food and all this. So I said, you know, why not try it here? You know, that whole bakery eatery concept.
Right.
So that's I said, well, let me try it here. And, you know, 30 years later, it's...
Wow, that's exciting. You certainly have a very wide breadth and of foods that you do provide to our community around you. How do you go about formulating what you serve?
Well, we try to maintain a limited menu. I think, you know, that's very important. You don't want to spread yourself too thin. So we took the basics, you know, chicken, goat, oxtail, beef patties, coke bread, and then just added a few more items. But those are our main items. And as I said, we keep it limited.
Okay, neat. A lot of folks see this and they think it's easy money. What does it take to effectively run a restaurant, especially in this kind of environment, business environment?
I could say one word, perseverance.
Okay.
And actually, really understanding all aspects of your restaurant, you know, from the cooking to the behind the counter to the front of the store, you have to know all aspects of it. And that's what it takes to be effective, so that you know what everyone's supposed to be doing, and they know that you know what they're supposed to be doing, and that you can do it.
Okay, that's neat. It seemed like you have a very customer focus. Going into your office not too long ago, I remember seeing the sign there boldly declaring, the customer comes first. How do you make that operational to the entire staff that runs your business so wonderfully?
You know, the key thing, I think, is to hire pleasant people. I believe you cannot train people to be pleasant.
Okay.
So once you hire pleasant people, everything else follows. You know, the training is easier. The importance of customer service then becomes natural.
And customer service, as I said, is a very key item on this.
But that's probably the most important thing, yes.
Right. The food business is not known for its great profit margins. How do you manage to maintain that in such tough economic times that we're facing right now in the grill?
Well, I've always tried to maintain a reasonable price point. And what this does is you get a much wider range of customers. So even in, you know, a little pullback in the economy and all this, even though your customer base might shrink a bit, but at least it's broad enough for you to absorb it. And again, with our price points being, you know, as low as they are, then we're good to go. People will always come back because people who are working and having the money and they need to eat and will come in. Because
great.
We try to provide, you know, really good value.
That's certainly so. That's been my testimony from your stores. I know there are some young folks out there who may want to consider getting into this kind of business. What would you advise them?
The important thing is to understand the physical requirements to put in a 14 and 16-hour day. Because a lot of times, and too often, I see people coming and says, my dream is to open a restaurant. And the operative word is to open the restaurant. Then they get it open, and it's, now what? You mean I have to be here all the time, and this is going to take away from it? So the dream gets shattered a lot. So it's understand what you're getting into. If you have an opportunity to go work, you know, intern in some restaurant, and know what it is to be standing on your feet for several hours, and think of this, doing this every day, and then you can make a rational judgment.
Are there other misconceptions about the restaurant business that you'd like to share or shatter?
I think a lot of people think that they have a nice recipe and they feel that they can cook. So because they can cook and people like their cooking, automatically they'll be successful in opening a restaurant. They're not realizing the business aspects of it, you know, and the ramifications.
Well, that's certain for sure. One of the things I've heard repeatedly around here is the need for upscale Jamaican restaurant with fine dining ambiance. What are you thinking about such a need?
Well, Chris, unfortunately, I've been there and I've done that.
Okay.
And it is a totally different model. And we had a store, we did one, I think, around 1992 in Bethesda. And it came out, it was really exquisite, if I might say so. I mean, we got rave reviews, everything. But it's just that I think certain ethnic foods do not lend itself to high-end menus.
Okay.
You know, a restaurant like that needs an average check of probably $35 per person. And it's hard to spend that much money. There's not much you can do with oxtail and goat and jerk chicken to put it, you know, where the customer is seeing the value. even though there's ambience and all this that cost all this money.
Right.
And for them to spend this when you have other eateries outside where they can go and pick up a meal, and maybe the ambience isn't quite as good, but certainly the value of the meal is there. And I think if you look at it, when I say ethnic foods, Chinese restaurants, you have very few high-end Chinese
That's
restaurants.
True.
You know, you're talking with a linen tablecloth and, you know, the full service and all this. There might be some that might be higher, but how much are you going to spend, you know, in a Chinese restaurant? Because you know that for Chinese food, this is what you're expecting, and it's a certain level.
Right. I clearly remember your store now. I remember being there. I lived in Pennsylvania at the time. My mom was living down there in Washington, D.C., and we came down for Mother's Day, and that's where we took her. And we had a wonderful time. So thank you for
well,
that service.
You.
And maybe at some time, you know, we'll have enough critical mass that we can restore such a enterprise in your mix of offerings.
Perhaps.
So given that, what are some of the future plans you have for the Negril enterprise?
Well, one word again, franchising. We are now an approved franchisor, and I can say that, you know, for the states that we're approved in, we're not approved in all the states, but along the East Coast up to New Jersey, down to Florida, we are. So if
okay.
anyone is looking to perhaps open Negril, then we're available, and we would provide whatever training that's necessary for that and guidance, which is, I think, the key thing in opening a restaurant if you don't have that experience.
So if you have the entrepreneurial desire but don't have the experience, you add that value to be able to get someone up and running without them having to go learn that in a painful way all by themselves.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely.
How would they get a hold of you if there's an interest in your franchising opportunity?
They can go to our website. It's negrilleats.com. And
okay.
just go it, and there's a link on it to franchising, and they can submit, you know, some basic information, and we'll respond to that.
Okay, wonderful. And finally, Earl, are there any parting words that you'd like to share with our Jamaican community?
Well, we've just celebrated 30 years thanks to the wonderful support of the community and them spreading their words, you know, spreading the word to their friends and cohorts, and we're looking forward to another 30. It has been a very nice ride.
I'd just like to thank you for having the vision and put in place a service like you've had, and many more years of success, and may we all rally to enterprises like yourself to make all of our community, as we continue to be knit together, even more successful. Thanks again, Earl, and we'll be looking to talk to you folks on the web. Thank you.
Okay, very good, Chris, and thank you for having me. Take care.